when Zachary was a little boy. Am I on? Okay. When Zachary was a little boy. And it's true, Rebecca is not very confident in her singing voice. But she was holding her baby in her bosom and singing lullabies to Zachary. And just like mamas do to their children, just singing and loving on him. And Zachary would reach up and he would put his hand on her mouth. Which kind of stamped the fact that her voice is not one of the best voices in the world. But let me tell you this. God absolutely loves it. You may not think you have a best voice. But when you sing from your heart to God the Father, He is overwhelmed with love and compassion for you too. We've sung this morning, and several of the songs talked about entering into the presence of God. Take me by the brazen altars and the crowds of people and the priests singing. But I want to go straight to the Holy of Holies and enter into the very presence of God. I want to make sure you understand a fact this morning. That can happen outside of this worship service we have on Sunday morning. That can be an everyday experience between you and the Lord. With your good voice, your bad voice, your no voice, with your heart voice, you can enter into the presence of our living God. I want to have you open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. And as I've been doing the last several weeks, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. If you would at this time stand in honor of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 11 through 14. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Thank you. May God bless the reading of His Word. This passage talks about the purpose of pastors, the purpose of teachers, the purpose of evangelists and prophets and apostles is to equip the people for works of service, to equip the people. And then in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read this. Paul is writing here again also to a different church. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. I want to talk to us this morning about feeding. How many of you like to feed? Yes, we like to feed. I want to encourage you that whether you ever decide to leave this church, or if you ever move away and you become part of another church and you decide to leave that church, let me encourage you, do not go up to anybody and say, well, I'm just not getting fed there. And I'll tell you why. Because that's more of a reflection on you than it is the pastor. It's more of a reflection on you than it is the Sunday school teacher. It's more of a reflection on you than it is a ministry leader. If you're not getting fed, it's your own fault. Because God is teaching us to become self-feeders. It is true that yes, the pastor should be teaching you basic truths, some deeper insights, and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Absolutely. But at some point, you've got to become self-feeders. And that's what we do with infants, like Paul referenced in 1 Corinthians. Babies are bottle-fed, right? Then they're spoon-fed for a little time. But then they become self-feeders, right? Give a toddler a cracker and see if they know what to do with it. They know what to do with it. Give them a cracker, animal cracker, cookie, whatever. They know where it goes. They are becoming self-feeders. And then the hope is that the longer they do that, the less sloppy they get at it, right? To where they're able to use a fork, a spoon, a knife, and then they're off to the races and running and go. The same is true for us spiritually. Paul is when he says, I gave you milk for you were not ready for solid food, he didn't go into the deep, deep truths of the faith. He kept it on a surface level for them to begin. They weren't ready for those for that deep understandings yet. So he gave them the entry-level food, the Gerber applesauce, the pureed peas and carrots, because they weren't ready for steak yet. But he comes back later on and says, now hang on, there's something wrong here. You're still eating applesauce, and you should at least be on to animal crackers. You should at least be on to cold hot dogs or something. But you're not ready for solid food yet. You're still milk feeding. That's not Paul's fault. I believe that God loves to bless a church that is full of self-feeders. Pastors, Sunday school teachers, ministry leaders, they can coach, they can encourage, they can instruct, and they can sharpen your skills, but the responsibility of daily feeding is yours. Coaches often encourage athletes to stay hydrated. It's important to stay hydrated if you're out there exerting yourself, especially in the where I grew up in the West Texas sun, where the sweat evaporated as fast as it came out. You needed that hydration. Okay, now they've got these sports drinks that are fortified with all this other stuff that they put in there to help the hydration process. You've got to stay hydrated. And to operate at a high performance, like these professionals do, they have to stay hydrated. If they wait until they're thirsty, it's too late. The body has already begun its slide towards dehydration. You cannot afford to wait. You can't afford to wait. There was a man who was a soccer coach, and he had a history of very successful teams, and he loved soccer. And his kids that he coached, they loved soccer. And as the new season started, the players began to show up. Some of the repeat ones, they came back. They had their soccer gear on, their uniform on. They were carrying their balls. They were rip-roaring and ready to go. They were excited about the new season. And then this one young man showed up in blue jeans and a backpack. And he said to the coach, I'm not really sure if I want to play soccer or join the band. What do you think, coach? And the coach said, son, my job is to help you play soccer, not help you make decisions. Once your decision is made, I can increase your skill level, but until you make your decision to play, I'm just a dude on the sidelines. Self-feeding Christians does not mean that you don't have to go to church anymore. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. But when self-feeders show up, when they come to church, they arrive wearing their soccer gear. They come ready for the program. They're ready to get down to business. They arrive having already made the decision to play ball. They've motivated themselves to hear God on a daily basis, and the worship service just helps coach them further. There's an article in the American Journal of Medicine, and it made this comment. The health of 21st century America will no longer be determined by what people can get doctors to do for them. The health of America today will be determined by what doctors can get people to do for themselves. I will tell you that a once-a-week meal of braised, skinless chicken, steamed vegetables, and a vitamin pill, no matter how healthy or tasty it might be, it would still leave us weak and undernourished if that's all we ate for the rest of the week, just that one meal. So it begs the question, is I believe that in churches all around the world, there are people who are depending upon that spiritual feeding that happens on Sunday morning or whenever they meet for church to carry them through the rest of the week. And they're starving. They're starving. But daily meals can change all of that. Regularly dining on the Word of God makes healthy Christians. And I will tell you, it's only healthy Christians who will be able to impact this world for Jesus Christ. When we feed on God's Word, it helps us know the shepherd in an intimate way. Just like Rebecca was talking a while ago, she has an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ by reading the red letters in the book of John. In an old country church, there was a talent show. And two performances stood out in people's minds. The first one was a visitor who was schooled in Shakespearean arts and training. And he stepped up to the microphone, cleared his voice. With great poise and with gestures and eloquent speech, he began to read the 23rd Psalm. Of course, it was in the King James Version. So he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Oh, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. And that's exactly what happened. The room erupted with applause, and people cheered, and they were like, "Man, that was so awesome." And the pastor stood up and said, "Man, thank you so much for that. That was..." And then he motioned to the back of the room, and he nodded to an old farmer in the back, and he said, "Joe, would you go next?" And Joe was thinking, "Man, how can I get up there after that great performance?" He said, "Oh, shucks, preacher." That's what he called the pastor. He called him preacher. He said, "Preacher, I don't know nothing except that same scripture that feller just said right there." Preacher said, "It's all right. We could stand to hear it again," the pastor said. So Joe stepped up to the mic. His head was hanging kind of low. And he began, "The Lord is my shepherd. And because of that one thing, I figure I have everything I need. Y'all know my wife died 6 years ago. And when my Helen passed, I didn't think I could go on without her. But God never left me. And He reminded me that I was going to do just fine. He said He'd be there for me and the kids. And He was." And then he gathered himself and he said, I need to continue. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the streams. He restores my soul. He leads me. Y'all know that when the war broke out, my boys felt it right to join up. The day they left was the last day I ever saw them alive. So I run the farm alone now. But the Lord goes before me. And He prepares my table. I'm never truly alone, not really. And when I don't think I have much left, my cup always overflows. He gathered himself for a minute, and then he continued, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. And I look forward to dwelling in the house of the Lord, and I know it will be my home too, and my wife's home, and my boy's home forever. When he finished, you could have heard a pin drop. No applause. There was just this profound silence. The kind when a deep respect is the only response a person can give. And slowly, the professional made his way back up to the microphone. And he said this, I may know the shepherd's psalm, but this man knows the shepherd. And that makes all the difference. You don't get to know the shepherd just on Sunday morning. You get to know him each and every day as you talk, as you listen, as you learn, as you experience. There's a difference between knowing something and knowing someone. Do you know him? Do you know him? He knows you. He knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the number of days that he has marked out for you. He knows you very intimately. Wouldn't you like to know him intimately also? You can. But I'm telling you, folks, if you're relying on that to happen because you're here on Sunday morning, even the best ones that come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night, that's not enough. Try going home on Sunday and Wednesday. See what kind of relationship you have with your family. It's not enough. You've got to have that daily communication. You've got to have that interaction. And that's what God invites us to. It's a daily conversation. What's that look like? It's different for everybody. In our household, since Rebecca has opened herself up, if you come by the house sometime between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning, you'll find her on the corner of our red couch with books galore, journals out, and she's there for an hour, hour and a half. Sometimes she's late for work because she just enjoyed her time with the Lord so much. For others, it may be in the evening time. It may be whenever it is. It may be at a time during your lunch break. There's no magic time, although Scripture does say it's great to start off the morning. But you ought to have a time every day that you spend with the Lord. Otherwise, you may know some words, but you don't know the author like he wants you to know him. My encouragement is become a self-feeder. Become a self-feeder. This time of worship, this time with the sermon time and the time we have of worship ought to be a rejuvenator. It ought to be a something that confirms. How many times have you studied something? Maybe it was in Sunday school or some other Bible study, and you come into the worship service and you hear a song or you hear the passage that's being preached that just reaffirms what you've already... Has that ever happened to anybody? If it has, raise your hand. Okay, all the time. Why? Because God's Word is active. It's alive. It's living. And God knows what you need, when you need it, and He knows just how to give it to you. But if He lays it before you and you look up at Him and say, I just want a bottle. I don't even want to hold it. I want you to hold it for me. He says, you've got to become a self-feeder. You've got to learn to take up the Scripture. Study it. Read it. Get to know me. I already know you. Get to know me. There's a great relationship waiting to happen. Now maybe you're here today and you've never even begun that relationship. Maybe people think you have. Maybe you're afraid to walk down the aisle because you're thinking, well, everybody already knows I'm a Christian, even though I'm really not. Who are you trying to please? Everybody else? Maybe you're here this morning and you know you've really never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You've never surrendered yourself to Him. You want to begin that process of developing a deeper relationship with God. Why not start now? Maybe you're here this morning and you at one time had a vibrant relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. But over time, things have gotten in the way. And you need your sleep more than you need the Word of God. Or you need an activity more, or the football game is more important, or the whatever, the NASCAR on TV, or whatever is more important. Playing catch with the kids is more important. Those things are fine, and they're good, and playing catch with your kids is really important, folks. I will tell you that if you're teaching your kids, the most important thing is to play catch with dad. They're missing out because there's something much more important. You can be teaching them the most important thing to do is to know God the Father. You can show them how to do that. I'm not sure what your need is here today. We are all needy people. We all need something. I'm not sure what your need is today. If you need salvation, oh, it is free. All you have to do is receive it, accept it, and give yourself back to God. He gets the short end of the stick, folks. But He's okay with that. If you need to renew your commitment to Christ, do that today. If you need prayer, we would love to pray with you about whatever's going on in your life. This is your time. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation. I'm going to pray for us first. This is a time when you can respond, when you can set pride aside. You can say, you know what? Doesn't matter what these people think. It matters what God thinks. And I want to get right with God. I want Him to know that I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Father in heaven, help us to not be ashamed. Father, help us to desire You more than anything else in this world. Help us be so committed to that, Father, that we will give You our time. We give You ourselves so that we can know You better. And we would be better equipped to share that love with someone else. Father, I say we're here for You, for Your service. But Lord, I can't speak for everybody. I can speak for me. But Father, I pray that each and every one of us would offer up a prayer. And we would tell You the level of our commitment to You. And we would be honest with it. And if we're at 60%, Lord, that we would be honest enough to say, Lord, I'm going to give You 60% of me. If we're at 20%, I pray that we would be honest enough to say, Lord, You can't have 80% of me. I'll give You 20. Oh, but Lord, if we're all in, I pray that we would be unashamed to say, I give You all of me. All I am is Yours. I wouldn't be here without You. So here I am. Use me. Grow me. Teach me. And I will commit to doing my part to help make that happen. By getting to know You, by speaking with You, by reading Your Word, by being with other Christian men and women who desire the same thing, by surrendering to the Holy Spirit and His leadership. Lord, help us. I've talked about this new year. It ought to be a different year. That means changing some things. And so, Lord, whatever it is we need to change to grow in our relationship with You, I pray, Father, that we would commit to make those changes today, here in this place, at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?